Hey everybody, it's Matt. I want to tell you about a special event coming up on June 12th, 2024. It's Future-Proof Your Workflows with TechSmith and AI. During the event, you're going to get exclusive previews of new features and get a chance to learn from industry pros and TechSmith experts. For all the details, make sure you visit us at bit.ly/TSC-June24. Remember, that's all lowercase, and we are so excited to have you join us and look forward to seeing you. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. We're so glad that you're here today. We've got a great show. We're going to be talking about demos. And you're probably saying, like, demos? What am I going to do with a demo? Well, you'll know because you're going to watch the show and then you'll know what a good demo is and how to make them and why you want to use them. So we're going to get to that in just a second. Just a reminder that we are only now streaming here on the Visual Lounge YouTube channel. So if you're on, the TechSmith channel, you're probably not hearing this right now, but we want to get you over here to start watching here and subscribing here. So this is where the show is going to be. Or if you're on LinkedIn, you're welcome to watch there as well. So with that said, let's get into today's show because we got Troy Stein here. We don't want to waste his time. So Troy has held multiple roles across TechSmith since joining in 2002, including senior enterprise account executive, senior innovation strategist, product manager, business architect, solutions architect. Prior to TechSmith, Troy launched a software company and was a program manager at Cisco Systems. And let me just say, if you have used Camtasia ever in your life at all, you have probably been influenced somehow by the mind of Troy Stein because he has had such a pivotal role in over the history. He's not everything, hasn't done everything. He wasn't the software developers, but he has had an influence in so many ways. And it is my privilege and pleasure to welcome Troy Stein to the Visual Lounge.
Oh, you're too sweet, man. Thank you.
No, man. It's absolutely true. It's amazing the influence you've had. I remember I started at TechSmith and, in fact, I remember you called me on my job interview because you couldn't make the one I was going to be at. And you're like, ask me some questions and then find out that you're the guy who is doing a lot of brain work along with a lot of other great people. But
I've been really fortunate to be like the product manager for the Camtasia one, two, anyways, about 10 years worth. And then they give me lots of fun projects to work on and good responsibilities. And it's crazy, but I never thought I'd be at a company for 20 years, nor would I like it even more at 20 years than I have at any other time before. So we're doing cool stuff and hold on to your hats, folks. Good stuff's coming.
Yeah. Hey, Troy, we're getting a comment. Just if there's a way to bring up your volume just a little bit, I can also
just be a little bit better.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
I think I got you, too. So anyway, so Troy, tell us a little bit. We'll start broad. We'll go down. But what are the kind of things you're doing now at TechSmith? What are you involved in?
So I've got three groups. I dabble just a little bit in some of the marketing stuff because of a solid understanding of Camtasia's customer base. I've got an amazing group called the Customer Education Team. So if you have watched any of the outstanding tutorials, been part of the webinars, read our documentation, that's that team. Yes, they are as awesome as you think. The next group is the research group. They are my get out of jail free card. So we don't make too many big decisions at TechSmith without inquiring from the customers and trying to deeply understand what they want, what they need, what they dream of, what they are afraid of, and what's really important to them. So the research team helps us to make better and better decisions product-wise and even strategy-wise. And then the customer success team is a group that works specifically with our larger customers. When they buy a whole bunch of Camtasia or a whole bunch of Snagit, we help understand what it is that they're trying to actually make different about their company, what they need in terms of onboarding their users, the training, even the internal marketing that they need. And we help make them as successful as we possibly can. So all in all, three amazing teams and with some super talented individuals.
And I can attest to all that being true.
You used to be in charge of the customer education team.
I a long time ago, I did, yeah.
You laid a firm foundation for that, my friend. Well done.
Well, thank you, Troy. So we're gonna talk about demos today, and I have seen you. One of the things that I'm not trying to build your ego up here, but I'm gonna build your ego up a little bit is that I've seen you give amazing demos and tell them, like, get people on board with big ideas and concepts. So let's talk about what role do demos play in all of this world of learning and development? You know, it could be marketing. You talked about customer success. Why should we care about demos?
Great call. Couple reasons. One is, especially for instructional designers, we make all this fantastic learning content. And then sometimes we wonder, I wish we had more people watching it. Why aren't more people watching it? It's not unlike somebody working for Paramount Pictures. Why aren't more people going to my movie? Right. Mm-hmm. We know what they do. They make a trailer. And sometimes they'll make like 3 or 6 or 7 different versions of the trailer because there's something else that they want to show. They want to drive attention and interest. And that brings people to the big show. For us, a demo is a way of saying we're going to make a trailer, a teaser. We already, as these instructional designers, we make these tutorials and they get people really informed. But before you can win their mind, you got to win their heart. And that's where the demos come in.
Yeah, I love that. So obviously, I can imagine from a marketing standpoint or someone's doing other things, it's you're getting people, it's excitement, right? You want people to be excited about everything you're showing them. I know I'm a big fan of movie trailers. I love the waiting for the next Marvel one. You know, come on, right. Thor movie trailer, drop so we can watch it, right?
Seriously, have you seen a movie in the last 10 years that you didn't watch a trailer for first?
I don't think so, no. I do know people that do that, but they're really hardcore.
Yeah, but those are gamblers, right? Like, I'm just going to try it. Like, most people don't. You know, most people, we watch it, and sometimes we even watch it a couple times. In fact, I've even watched a trailer after I went to the movie because it was, like, that good.
Or I watched the breakdown. Like, what did I miss in the trailer?
Right. And sometimes, and this is key, right? You and I actually, Matt and I went to a session years ago that was taught by a guy who made videos and edited videos for Saturday Night Live. And one of the things that he taught us was when you're making a trailer, it doesn't have to be a perfect replica of what your actual movie is. In fact, sometimes they'll like move things around and switch it around. And because you're trying to like create a little bit of cognitive dissonance, like, wait a second, what? How? Why? And because you're trying to pull people in, you're not trying to tell them everything. So the teasers and the trailers aren't necessarily meant to be wholly instructive. They're supposed to grab your attention and make you want to learn more.
So with that, Trey, let me ask you this, and especially in the world of like when people are, they're teaching either software or selling software, or doing whatever, it's, you know, I think a digital format, you know, how important is it that it's accurate? You know, I think one of the things I think we could probably talk about and we should talk about is length of how long should a demo be comparatively to like whatever we're trying to show, but like the value of having it be like kind of click action accurate. Is that important, or like what should we be showing?
Never lie. My mom said that and she was right. So you will out of necessity cut things out of a tutorial. I am of the opinion you can take a tutorial and make a demo out of it. If we have time, I'll show you one approach of how to do that. But when you're telling part of a story, out of necessity, you're cutting things out. And it's okay to do that. It's essential to do that. Samuel Clemens had this great line. He said, I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one. And the long version of things is the tutorial. The short version is the demo, right? And so you're going to cut things out, and it's okay to remove things. It's also okay if you don't show everything, but in my opinion, you gotta show at least the critical thing, right? Like for me, you know, if you're going in and you're showing, you're gonna make a feature demo, you're gonna show that feature. You're gonna click on the feature. You're gonna show what happened before and what happened after. And It can be really that simple. Now, you don't want to make your product look like it can do something that it cannot. That would be the lying part, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to be true to what it can do. But you also don't have to keep it so simple. Like, you don't have to be afraid in the demo to show something that is complicated. And by that, I mean, like, if I made a demo that a beginner user of Camtasia would make, I would show a recording, I would show a couple of edits, and I would then have it produce the file. And it would be okay, but it would be fairly average, right? Mm-hmm. But if I want to do a demo and I want to actually grab people's attention, I'm going to spend some time on it, right? And I'm going to make it look awesome. And can the average person do it? No, they can't, right? That's okay. I want to actually grab people's hearts and minds. And then that's what the tutorial's for. Okay, folks, this is how you do it. This is actually how you make what I just showed you in the demo.
So what I'm hearing, it sounds like, you know, the difference between demo and maybe training piece or whatever else, obviously, is it's not supposed to be instructive. It could be. It obviously could, but it's doing much more to garner kind of attention and draw people in to say, like, that looked cool.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna ask just like, I hate when people ask me this question, so I kind of hesitant to ask the question about, because I always get asked about video length. How long should my video be? And there's so many answers, but like, give us some parameters here, because I think that's one we can just knock off pretty easily and say, like, that this is a parameter. A good demo should be no longer than. It depends,
but I'll say, if you're shooting for something, shoot for 30 seconds or less. Now, there are lots of kinds of demos, and I'm going to propose that especially instructional designers who are already really good, like if you guys have a super strength, it is that you're really good at taking a lot of complex information and boiling it down. Right, you could have somebody who might be under for 10 minutes and you're like, I got this, I can do this tutorial in 2 minutes. Well, 2 minutes is not a demo, right? So keep going, keep squeezing, tighten that thing down and get it down to 30 seconds. Now, I'm of the opinion that if you're going to start with a demo, you take you take a tutorial and you make a feature demo, right? Like, this feature does one thing. 30 seconds. Here's the problem. Here's the feature. Here's the solution. Done. Right. If you do that well, then you could take, let's say, 3 of those, and all of a sudden you've got a what's new video for your release. If you got a bunch of them, maybe 6 or 8, and pretty soon you've got like a product overview video. Right. And then you're choosing between a bunch of them, and maybe you've got a video for your whole portfolio. Right. But you kind of boil it down to that atomic level. And in my mind, the idea of a feature demo is, we have a feature. It solves a problem. We're going to show you what that problem is and what the solution looks like. And we can do that relatively short.
Well, I love that, because I was thinking, as you were explaining the time, you know, we talked about movie trailers as kind of being that. Kind of like the similar thing, right? Get you excited, get you pumped, get you oriented even. But, you know, how long is a movie? 2 hours, right? And so they give you 60 seconds to maybe a minute and a half, right? So the proportions, if you have a big thing, you can afford to give it a little bit longer trailer. Or if it's, you know, like if it's going to be a 3-day event, right? Probably you can have a bigger trailer. So, I love that thinking there. But 30 seconds, good guide.
Small, right? Like if you're going to write an epic novel, you might want to write a short story first, right? You, in your mind, you might think, oh, I found this perfect piece of music and I'm going to make the best possible what's new video, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds and nothing but pumped up music, right? And it's going to be fantastic. Start small, please. Start really small. Start with a feature and nail that sucker down.
Yeah. For sure. Okay, Troy, what I want to do, I want to step back for a second and ask you, because I think we're going to talk more structural demo stuff here. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, can you think of a demo, like something that's a software demo or something more in the lines of what we're talking about, not movie trailers, that had an impact that made you think, now that is a good demo, like, and has been instructive in a way for you?
Yes. So if anybody wants to Google this phrase, and I may lose people, so see ya. Been nice having you. I know what multitasking is like, and you may never come back. But Adobe Photoshop Buffalo Double Exposure. And it's freaking amazing. They show you how you can do something simple in Photoshop. Well, actually, that's not true. It's relatively complex. And what is super cool is in this video, they are showing only parts of the UI, not the whole UI, just parts of it, right? And then they're showing the canvas, right? But they're showing the tools being used. And to me, it magnifies a couple of things. And if I can take this small detour. Yeah. Part of the reason why I'm as passionate about demos is because I spoke at the beginning of last year with 22 different tech marketers. Half of them were our customers, half of them were not customers. And I began to ask them about demos, who needs them, when do you need them, why, et cetera. And a couple things came out. One was that there was never enough demos. That was not a surprise. Two was nobody owns it. Right? Marketing thinks instructional designer is supposed to do it. Instructional designers think marketing is supposed to do it, or they think sales is supposed to do it. And nobody in the ball is just getting dropped universally across the board. The other thing that was amazing to me is that marketers have this fear factor. They know that that customers think words are cheap and that they can say, our software is easy. But they can't show it. They need somebody, they need help showing it, right? And so what they do, and our company does this too, is you put a link to the video, or excuse me, you have a new feature, you put a link to the tutorial. Mm-hmm. Why? Because an instructional designer is like an educator. An educator, the trust level in educators is like up here, only behind firemen. Like firemen, like in the trust levels of people in the world, firemen is way up here. And marketers, they're kind of down here. I hate to say this, marketers, but you already know this, right? That they're down here along with politicians, right? So what they do, they know that. And they want people to trust them because they're good people. And so they want to say things that are true, and then they want to show things that are true. Mm-hmm. Now, the other piece that was interesting in these conversations is that they know... that they are saying, yeah, our product is powerful and our product is easy to use. It's true, right? We say the same thing about Snagit and Camtasia, which they are. And yet, sometimes there's a lot of buttons on the screen that even like powerful tools have lots of options. And so they want to be able to show parts of the screen. So one thing that we learned when we're talking about demos is that focus is a big deal, right? That you want to be able to, sure, there's 10 options on the screen. You're gonna tighten people's focus. You're gonna zoom in onto that one thing that's important. Or you might find, as Adobe did in their Buffalo Double Exposure video, a way to be able to isolate and mask out parts of the UI to make that happen. That was a long answer. I'm not sure that was very good.
No, that was great. It was great. Well, because I think what you're getting to is that context in demos is really important. But you also want to get rid of the extra stuff. Like we'll take something like Camtasia. We know how many features are in Camtasia. Best estimate, right? 100, 150 probably. Things you could do. Yeah. And if you're focusing on one, you need to set context, but you don't want me to get lost. It's the same thing like in screen sharing. Like if I'm sharing my screen with anybody or I'm recording my screen and all of a sudden I see anyone's apps, their Mac toolbar, it pops up, right? And I'm seeing like, well, I stop paying attention to what I'm paying. It's supposed to pay attention to. I'm like, well, what tools are they using? How did they record this? And I'm looking for things.
Right. It's like let's say I run a web application and if you looked at my browser right now, there's at least 15 tabs and a toolbar with my shortcuts underneath that. And just because that is real and true and the way I live, oh, by the way, on the bottom, I've got like 7 downloads on the bottom of my browser. I shouldn't show all those. I don't need to, right? So either clean up before you do your recording and do your demo, or thank you, Camtasia, there is a way of cropping stuff or zooming or masking, right? You can do all of those things to be able to draw attention to just parts of the screen.
And Troy, just so you know, one of our regulars, Garth, said it was an answer, not a demo. Long is fine. So we can go on for, we got time. We're good on long answers here.
Okay.
Cool. Until we get to speed round, Troy, and then all bets are off. It's got to be
cool.
Snappy.
Time
snappy.
For speed round then.
Okay. So let's talk about the realities of this. So, I mean, we've talked about kind of the timing. There's kind of talks about some bits and pieces that go into demos, right. But if you you're tasked with this process of, you want to make a demo.
Cool.
Help me get started here, because I imagine, like, I know video pretty well. My first inclinations, analysis, do like an audience stuff. But like, where would you start if you want to make a killer demo? You want to get internal or external people excited? Where does Troy Stein start?
Well, I can tell you that if you start, people are going to love that you're starting, because everybody knows that the job needs to get done and nobody's doing it. So anything that you're going to do for them is going to be gravy. What I would start with is definitely a feature demo, a teaser, if you will, right? I'm going to show one feature and I'm going to show that it solves a problem. Choose a feature and then ask yourself two questions, well, maybe three. The first question is, who am I making this for? And make sure that you understand that pretty clearly. Usually it's a prospect, but then, okay, what's their job? What do they care about, right? And so who, second is when, like when does somebody need this feature? Under what circumstance? Because you're gonna have to demo the thing anyways, right? You're gonna have to do a setup. Like there's a problem in the world, we solve that problem. So usually the when is, let's just say that you have a problem. We're going to demo Microsoft Excel and demo that sometimes the spreadsheet is so long, right? And that's pretty easy to demo, big, long spreadsheet. And then the feature, so what the feature is it's a filtering tool. So it makes the spreadsheet shorter and more easy to go through. So who are you making it for? When is that feature being used? And the problem that it solves, right? As long as you know that, you're pretty good to go. So what I would do, and what I generally recommend, is a fairly simple process. You got an intro, you got an outro. Intro, you're going to give the product name and state the problem. So if it's Excel, spreadsheet's too long, something like that, right? Outro, you're going to state the product name and the feature that solves the problem that you just talked about. Okay. So you took care of those two things. And then it's as simple as showing the problem, doing a real tight zoom into the feature. And it's okay to be almost extreme in that zoom, but like, this is important. This is the feature that does the magic. And then the solution. Like, once we click this button, this is the stuff that happens afterwards. And so you can break it down, right? Video that shows the problem, zoom into the feature, the big click, as I call it, boom, and then what happens after that?
Well, I love that idea. Big click.
I can show an example. I know it won't be great for the good folks that are picking this up as a podcast, but if you want, I can.
Before we do that, I have a question. I definitely want to show that, so we'll set that up in just a second. I'm curious. You intro outros, right? Like one of the things I noticed. That oftentimes people don't like using the same thing. They want to be creative. They want to do stuff. Should you, like, if I'm doing for a product, should I always do the same one? And for my company, like intro, outro, should those be consistent?
Yes. At least for a year, right? Or longer. Like there are people that I follow on YouTube. One of them's gentleman's Peter McKinnon, and he's got an intro sequence that he runs at least for a year. Every maybe 2 years, he'll refresh it. And that's fine, right? And that's for a YouTuber, right? For most corporations, our branding shouldn't change that much. And even if it does, it's okay because at the heart of the content is the message itself, and you're going to be just fine. If you keep to the company colors, by the way, most marketing groups don't actually have video guidelines. They have branding guidelines, like here are our colors, here's our font, don't put our logo too much closer to any text. I get that, and that's important. But nobody has, very few, have video branding guidelines. So if you take their normal branding guidelines and just introduce that as part of your video process, you're probably going to be just fine 99% of the time.
Yeah. Got a preview there. Started to play the video. Hit the wrong button.
Good looking demo.
Let's watch it, Troy. So set us up for those who are listening on the podcast. Are we going to see?
What you're going to see is a short demo. I think it's 16 seconds. Mm-hmm. I was going for short. I was thinking like, could this be something that might actually work on social media? And it's a single feature. It happens to be in Camtasia on the Mac only at this point. But basically it's solving a problem like, I made a recording and I had a stupid pop-up come up.
Yeah, it's a common problem. And I love this feature. So if anything else we should know, or are we good to watch it? I'll hit the right button this time, I promise.
Camtasia, I'll show you the template and stuff later, but yeah, it's simple enough.
All right, here we go. Let's watch it. I think they could hear the sound, Troy.
Oh, perfect. All right.
Okay. But yeah. So very simple, right? Like I saw your intro. I saw your outro telling the problem feature and you did the thing.
Right. So you show the problem. In this case, a pop-up came up in the recording and it's possible somebody might be like, that was kind of fast. And, yes, it was. It may have been too fast. It's possible I could have gone for 20 seconds, but I also found a piece of music I kind of like that piece. So you find a good piece of music that matches your tone. But if you have to err on going a little too fast versus a little too pedantic or a little bit too slow, go a little bit too fast because it is, after all, a teaser, and you're not actually giving instructions there.
Yeah, well, and I love that. That's the difference, right? It's like it's a different mental model to wrap our heads around that. Because I come from the instructional design world. Like that's what I've been doing for decades now, and it is a very different thing. So one of the things I want to ask about this, Troy, because I can see I'm getting some echo. So I think, hang on, I opened Camtasia and everything changed. I was going to get ready to show off the templates.
Me?
I don't know. Well, I think it's gone now. Anyway, one of the questions I want to ask you is, because I come from the background, and you were very generous to say instructional designers are really good about distilling information. But I think, and this is, broad generalization, so I want to be careful here. I think we also, as a profession, we are very interested in being so helpful that we want to give you so much, right? Like, I want to make sure I don't lose you along the way, because it's, heaven's sake, if I lost you, I would feel bad about everything in the world, right? Like, so how do you get to the point where you're merciless at cutting? Because I think to get the 16 seconds, right? You have to cut it.
I love your word, merciless. It is so true, right? So many of us are previous teachers. And the idea of losing a child in the education process, we get scared by that, right? Like there's something wrong with us if we leave one of our children behind. In the world of writing, they have this idea that when you write characters into like a fiction, that they become like your children, like you learn to love them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that character, that sheriff that you wrote in the back county of Mississippi, they're not going to make the cut, right? The editor's like, no, they're confusing. They're missing things up. You have to, quote, kill your children. What a horrible phrase, but it is merciless, right? Mm-hmm. It is, as you say, merciless. You have to be able to say, it almost hurts me to cut this out. Right. If I'm going to do a product overview video that demonstrates the awesomeness of my product, how could I possibly cut out these seven things when there's 15 amazing things about the product? If you can't cut it, nothing is going to shine. You have to cut, and it has to be merciless. It is.
Yeah, and I imagine it also, you know, with a demo, it really helps, going back to what you said kind of up front, if you know your audience and you know the problem, it's like, focus on that. Like, it allows you to really narrow deep, whereas maybe an instructional video, there's things like, is this, do they understand how to log in? Do I need to teach them how to log in? I don't know.
Right. And the problem that we so often struggle with is, especially when it's for a prospect, like, well, anyone could use my software. And so I'll just keep it really generic. And they're like, no, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't, right? Like in Camtasia, there's a blur tool. And you could think, well, a blur tool would be perfect for somebody who has to, let's say, show a web application and you need to blur out passwords, okay? If you're a designer, that blur tool is perfect if you want to put like a layer of haze over the screen so that your text shines out in front of you really nicely, right? But those are two different uses. Right? You have to know who your audience is and when it's useful. And you can't tell them both. Not in a demo. You choose your audience and you tell one story with that demo. And if it means that you have to make two different demos, that's okay. Right? I can make a demo for instructional designers. I can make a demo for security people who need to remove out passwords and stuff like that with the blur.
So Troy, one of the things you mentioned earlier, and I want to go back to, is you talked about like this idea of like you could build like three demos and you could have like kind of a kind of what's new video, right? Like you could concatenate.
Like they're molecules, right? You're combining them together over time.
So if you are charged with making, a company comes to you and says, Troy, we really like what you're doing. We want you to make some demos for us. And oh, by the way, we're also going to maybe do these other things. Would you start with the demos or would you start kind of the bigger picture, bigger thing, and then boil it down? Which order should we be thinking about this? Because I imagine there's challenges both way, right? If I start with a bigger, like what's new demo or what's new kind of video, I have to, the mercilessness comes back and I have to really, it's really harder. But if I'm taking small separate pieces, now I got to fit them together so it feels like they flow.
To me, that is a little bit of a philosophical question, right? Like, do you start in?
We ask the hard questions here about life.
Yeah. Deep thoughts with Troy Stein and Matt Pierce. This may be shallow, but in my mind, you start small because A, you're not going to get it right. And even if you think you're going to create this amazing, beautiful demo of that is a product overview, you're still going to have these building block pieces of it. And so start small, get good at it, learn how to make one feature shine and two features shine and then combine them together. And then over time, you'll have you'll have the skill, right? You'll have the skill of storytelling because you've been working on telling very, very short stories. Then you'll also have video editing skill. And then you can begin combining them together. And also the story will develop. It will, the broader story will develop over time. You'll understand that bigger story. It doesn't mean that you can't be writing the big story as you go. Don't get me wrong. But I'm a big fan of momentum. And if you can start building a little bit of momentum and you get that flywheel going, you got Big Mo working for you, right? And that gives you the power that you need to get over that finish line on those big projects, because just starting with that big project is like eating an elephant. It's just not going to happen. Or not going to happen well. Even if you outsource it, which a lot of people do, they'll outsource it. And I've talked to a bunch of these marketers and like, yeah, that took like 3 to 6 months. And don't do that. Make a demo in a day or two, if that's how long it takes. And then move on to the next one and keep working at it and refine that craft. And what happens is an instructional designer, you become known for more than just instructional design. And you've got now this transferable skill that marketers are like, yeah, I want him on my team, mm-hmm. right? That's a good thing when multiple people want you, especially in this economy where there's lots of changes in the job market.
Yeah, for sure. And I used to joke, I'd go to these education conferences and instructional designers, trainers. And, you know, I used to start off because I am now in a marketing department, have been for quite a while. And I'd always say, I moved to the dark side, you know, joke about going to marketing and they'd all laugh, right?
Dark side.
especially technical writers, they would just crack up at it because it was like, yeah, they have these conflicts, but you're absolutely right. I find that my instructional design skills are like a little bit of a superpower. Like I've learned how to do these things and it's really valuable. So I want to ask you this, Troy, about, you know, we've been talking, as we talk about demos, I think when I hear the word demo, I think about demo, and you kind of mentioned this up at the very top of the show that like, you know, I think external. I think about a product release, software release, but let's focus in on the key for internal, because I think demos are probably an underutilized opportunity inside organizations to communicate. Is that fair?
Everyone that was here to our twice a month Camtasia demo meetings, you would be blown away. Not only at like the creativity that the team does, well, also every 8 to 10 weeks, we allow them to just work on whatever they want to, but that whether they're working on stuff that's going into the product or stuff that they hope gets into the product because they're just experimenting, they all do demos and they got 2 minutes to make a demo. And we give them a template with the intro and outro, and they are super creative. They're super fun. But those demos become like currency within the company. And sometimes those demos bubble up to the executive committee and like, have you seen the demo that Tom Sergate has made? Oh my gosh. Right. That demo, that should be on our website demo. That was that good. That was amazing. And you know, like we've got guys that make stuff that are just mind-bogglingly good. And so the skill set of making a demo, what's nice is when you're doing them internally, not only, yes, of course, does the energy around your product or your project continue to grow, the communication grows, but also the skill set grows. And somebody who maybe is a project manager or maybe a UX and interaction designer or an engineer, they begin to be like really good making demos. And it's a fantastic skill set to have in your company, to have that bevy of skills around.
Well, I just think about the amount of information that gets conveyed those become like bedrock for like, oh, for marketing or for training even, right? Like, oh, well, I'm going to refer back to that source piece, that demo, because now I understand, I can see what it is. And, you know, versus, you know, someone telling me like, well, we're going to do this crazy thing. It's going to do X, Y, and Z jumping around, and I'm like, sure. And then you see it and you're like,
and we do live demos, right? Like, for example, the product team prior to release will sit down with the marketing team and say, okay, we're going to walk you through Camtasia 2022. Yes, by the way, folks, it is coming. It'll be out this summer. But that walkthrough is a little bit of it's a walk, right? It's sort of pedestrian walk through the product. And sure, it looks good. But when you take the time to make it short, you actually put a little bit more effort into the sing in the song and dance part, right? And it really, the effort to make it concise, that constraint actually forces you to elevate things and to make them shine a bit more.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, Troy, you have built some packages. Do you want to talk about those? Do you want me to pull them up and share it?
Yeah, let me share my screen. Is that all right?
Yeah, let's.
Or do you want to share yours? What's better?
Let me share mine just because I know what it's going to look like.
Okay.
Give me a second to pull up Camtasia and
reduce the number of changes. I like it.
We didn't practice this, so set this up. What are we going to see once I get this open?
So why don't you open up open up that video one more time, the one that you shared.
Yep.
Just so that we can sort of get the context. Okay.
Yep. And then do you want to be able to talk it over it?
3, 5, 6 or 3, 6, 9, 12, you know, something like that. Just a few seconds at a time so that we can sort of nail the key components. There are 5 components: intro, outro. Cool. Those are simple. Then to be honest, it's really just 2 others in the middle. There's the problem and then the feature and solution. I kind of couple those 2 together, but problem, feature, solution.
Okay, let's see what we got here.
Okay, cool. There's your intro, right? Product name and the problem. There's a problem, which is that there's alerts on the screen and you need to remove them. I'm not saying I nailed it with it, but it's simple enough. Okay.
So well, and I love that it's grabbing. It's grabbing you, right? That motion. It's not just a static thing either. I think that's
motion
important.
Is kind of magic. Yeah, it is. I agree. Okay, so next scene is where we set up the problem, where somebody's doing a recording and on comes the alert. Cool. Strong cut to the next side. Go ahead. And it's then dragging that on. Now, I think, honestly, I probably would have done a better job. I should have zoomed in harder. I really should have on that freeze region on that one. I should have done so. Version 2 of this video will have a harder cut or like a real zoom in to into that feature. But you're seeing the feature in action, right? And then go ahead and play it, and you're seeing what essentially is the solution to the problem. And then the solution has a name. It's called Freeze Region. That's it. Okay. So
awesome.
if you go into the template that I made. I think I made a template and a package. For those of you who don't know, and I saw somebody in the comments say, what has Troy actually done? Like, what feature has he worked on? One of the things that I was a big proponent of is the templating and the packaging and being able to make it so that what one person makes, the rest of the group can make. So running through and sharing that. Thank you, sir. Matt, why don't you zoom in on the timeline a little bit or make it a little bit bigger? There we go. And perfect. And then do you know how to increase the size of the tracks?
You bet.
Oh, you are so good.
And I actually, okay. We'll keep going. Cause I've got other things this is where I've got my hotkeys. You know, you get your hotkeys set up but that's a whole nother story. I got to remember where they are.
All right. So the first part, if you click on that first part there, right. So click in there and now over on the right hand side. I didn't mean to have you click into the group cause you shouldn't have to. What Matt's doing is he went inside the group, but I just want you to single click on that. Yep. Single click on that group there. And then on the right side are the properties. If you move your mouse cursor, like maybe to 2-3 minutes or 3 seconds into on the playhead. Yeah. Move that over a little bit and then they can see, keep going. And there you go. So now you can see, where some text comes in, but if you've got, using the properties in the right hand, we set it up so that you can put in your text in there, your product name, your problem statement, and you can put your logo in there and change your colors. Matt, I think if you have a theme installed on your product, do you have like an Audiate theme or anything like that on there?
Woo, look at that.
Okay. Okay, so you can see how it sort of adjusts as you go. And then basically what I have on there, yeah, sure, go ahead and play with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't use theming, they're pretty great. It makes life a lot easier for you to adjust pretty much anything. There you go.
Look at that. That's pretty slick. So, but that's all in the spirit of saving you time, right? So you're doing multiple of these. But I love it, right? Because that's one of the challenges when you get in a video. What do I do? What do I put in the beginning spot?
Yeah. And then, so what do I put? We have placeholders. I call this a placeholder for the problem. And then the next placeholder is a placeholder for the feature and the solution. And then keep going. And then there's an outro that also you can put the name of the feature. And then to the right, just so you can play with it, there are two clips. Yeah, there you go. So those two clips, basically, just if you wanted to recreate what I made, that's the problem clip. And you drag it on to, the placeholder's a little bit finicky. You sometimes have to like come at them from above. You got to sneak up on them. And then the other clip is, there you go, ripple replace. And then the second clip is, I think, the feature and the solution that you could also do the same thing on. So you have stuff there, but my hope is that you would take your own.
Whoa, everybody. Just so you know, we crashed, but we did continue the rest of the show. There's a few more great pieces of information that Troy provides. We get into the speed round. And of course, we'd love to have you continue on with the rest of the show. So let's get back into it. Are we live? I don't know. Things happened. We broke stuff.
We do that. So we do demos for Camtasia, like I said, and Snagit too, right? Every couple of weeks. But whenever somebody crashes, that we clap for each other, like, because you know that it happens, right? And your blood level goes, oh, I'm so frustrated, right? But it happens to everybody. It absolutely does.
Okay. So, we are live someplace. I don't exactly know where.
All right.
But gosh darn it, we just lost our stream. But we're going to finish up. I'll edit this together. So sure. I want to finish up the show strong like we would. Troy, we're going to drop those links, right?
Yeah, you'll have both of those links. But I do actually want to hit just one principle for folks before we end, which is, it's called the Hitchcock principle. He was a director from the 40s, 50s, 60s. And his principle was that what is on the screen should reflect the amount that that object or person takes up on the screen should reflect the importance of that person to the character or to the story. So if this pencil isn't really important, it's okay that it's back here. But if this pencil becomes like a really important part of the video, it's going to come and it's going to take up a whole, you know, a big part of the screen. So when you get to that part in your demo where your feature is, it's time to shine, zoom in, just zoom in.
I love it. That is great advice. The Hitchcock principle, zoom in. So Troy, to kind of wrap things up, we'll drop the links to the templates that you provided, that so people can play with that on their own. We'll put that in the show notes and everything. So anything else kind of wrap up that we should know before we go to our speed round questions?
I'm looking at my notes. Nope. I think we've covered it.
Perfect.
Cool.
Well, are you ready for this, Troy?
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite parts of the show. Let's do the speed round. Okay, Troy, speed round questions means we are going to ask you questions that are maybe on topic, maybe a little off topic, meant to be fast, fun, and easy. So here we go. You've been doing a lot of things at TechSmith in your career. So what is the one thing you're most proud of having done or having been part of?
What we are part of right now, we are working on a concept called projects, which is project-based learning. And you guys will see the first seeds of that this year and a whole lot more next year. But it is, I think it will be phenomenal for our existing users to learn how to use our products for different uses.
Love it. I'm excited for it myself. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Next question. What's a tip or best practice you suggest to anyone making video, and doesn't have to be about demo, something maybe you haven't shared with us?
Keep it simple. Record at 1080p, edit at 1080p, produce at 1080p. You'll get the best quality output possible that way.
Love it. Love it. Next question. Where do you turn for inspiration? You're a creative guy. You do lots of stuff. I've seen your photography. I know you've made some videos. You do lots of awesome stuff at TechSmith. Where are you going for inspiration on the regular? Fill in that creative bucket, if you will.
I find inspiration in random places. Like one of the things that I've done during the pandemic is learn woodworking. And so I take classes. And then I learn how they teach me woodworking, but I also learn how I forget things in woodworking. And so I take some of those principles from various and sundry places, wherever they may be. And then, of course, going to YouTube to watch other people do things. And I tend to learn around me. I wish I had one specific place, but there's lots of people. I think Adobe does fantastic work. Apple does great work when it comes to demo, that's for sure. When it comes to YouTube space, Peter McKinnon is pretty fantastic. He's a Canadian, really amazing storyteller and visual artist.
Awesome. All right, Troy, our last speed round question, one that consistently we're told is our hardest question to answer. So get ready. What's one question you'd like to ask me? I got to ask you all these questions, and now you get to turn
the
tables.
Where are you going in May?
In May, well, I'm first and foremost, I'm going to Grand Junction, Colorado, and I'm going to ride a bicycle to Moab, Utah, which just, it's, I can't believe I'm doing it. It seems insane, but it's going to be wonderful going with a good friend, several good friends, and it'll be pretty awesome.
Are you ready?
No. I am, you know, here's the thing about this is why. There is a huge elevation gain when you go from Grand Junction to Moab. And up and down throughout their whole route, it's like 4,000 feet in elevation that you have to climb. Not all at once, but there's a lot of that up and it's up and down. Yeah. We live in Michigan, and where I live is particularly flat.
Lowlander.
There's like no great hills. In fact, I was talking to my good friend, and he's like helping me get prepared and tell me like what I should be doing for training. He's like probably the most elevation you're going to find is going over an overpass. You should probably ride up and down the overpass. And I'm like, well, I mean, I know if I go north, if I get out of my kind of the space, but it's really hard during the week to go and drive up, you know, to Traverse City or something like that. So yeah, I'm not quite ready. I've got a month. So
you're going to be awesome.
If I don't come back, you guys know what happened. we'll find someone else to host the show.
This has been fantastic. I appreciate everybody's time and attention. I hope it was worth their few minutes.
Absolutely, Troy. We're so grateful for your all the suggestions you provided, the great ideas, and we love working with you. So thanks for being here on the Visual Lounge.
Anytime.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much to Troy Stein for being here. We're sorry about the technical glitch. We'll make sure we do the magic of editing and bring this all together at the end. However, you know, if you like the show, make sure you like, subscribe, and click the bell so you get notifications so when we do go live or we put up new content, you can get notified, because that's something we want you to do. And, you know, tell us in the comments. Let us know. Did you like this episode? Do you like the topic? Is there a topic that you'd like to see? Because that helps us continue making awesome content that is going to allow you to continue to grow in your abilities and skills as well. So with that said, make sure you're taking a little bit of time every single day, a little bit every time, every week, to get a little bit better, to level up and improve your skills, whether you're making images or videos. We'd love to see what you're doing as well. So thanks, everybody, and we'll see you guys next week.